Look this morning at verses 1 through 9. John chapter 5, let's read verses 1 through 18. We'll probably just look at 1 through 9, though, for our text. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, it was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which was had an infirmity 38 years. Then Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but I am coming another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk. And he said that he was healed, wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, there making himself equal with God. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, help us to understand the truths that you would have for us in your word this afternoon. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were on the tour to Israel, we had the privilege of going to the pool of Bethesda. And it was interesting to stop and think that that's where this event occurred. And they had just recently not that long ago, it was a few years ago, discovered where this pool was, and it is being able to be seen. And Jesus had come into the city. He'd gone up to Jerusalem again for another feast. The feast isn't told us. We're not certain which feast it was that he was going up for. However, when he gets there, he comes to this pool. Now, in this pool, it says that there were five pools on the porches of Bethesda, and there was a number of ill and various degrees of illness, whatever they had, their problems. It talks about that they couldn't walk, they were halted, they were blind, they were lame, a number of things that these people had. And if you can imagine seeing all of these people with physical needs laying around this pool. Now Jesus sees this man and he comes upon this man, and this man tells him, doesn't tell Jesus he'd been there 38 years, but he had been laying there 38 years. If you know Jesus' physical age on earth at this time, it's under 38. He's only probably at this time about 31 and a half, because he was 33 when he was put to death on the cross. And so we see that he wasn't alive on this earth when this man already was starting to lay by this pool trying to get in. And number one, it shows you that Jesus knows all about us, even though we don't know he knows all about us. This man didn't know who Jesus was, didn't understand that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God come in the flesh, that he had the power to heal because he had created all things, and he had no clue who he was encountering that day. And as Jesus comes to him, he asks him an interesting question. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Interesting question, isn't it? You've been laying there 38 years. Yeah, you'd like to be healed. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That people come to that same question a lot of times. And if you stop and think, what would be people's answers to, will you be healed? Well, you might have some people that would say, well, I don't know. How am I going to be healed? How can I be healed? Feeling that it probably can't ever be done, would say, I doubt if I could ever be healed. I don't know, why should I trust that you could heal me? Or you might have other people that would come, especially given some of the diseases that we found cures for today. Some of the cures are worse than the diseases. And so you might have some people that say, if you came up and asked them, wilt thou be made whole? They'd go, well, I don't know. What's your cure? Is it going to be make me sick and die quicker than if I just kept this disease I've got? You know, like some people go to the hospital and they have to endure a lot with the cure. And it's interesting if you've seen some of the drug commercials in magazines or on television or radio, and they give the side effects, sometimes the side effects are worse than the disease. Like some of the side effects are death. So you may have somebody that would say, well, I don't know. It depends on how bad the cure is going to be. But then there might be some people, and you'd say, who would ever say this? No, I kind of like my disease. I think I just want to keep it. You know, it kind of sets me apart from everybody else. People feel sorry for me, and you know, I've got something that other people don't have, so I just think I'll hang on to it. Well, you're chuckling because we know that there's probably not too many people that if they had a very serious disease, like this man was, he couldn't walk, he couldn't move. He was in such bad shape that when the waters were stirred, he couldn't even pull himself over to get into the water before a whole bunch of other people beat him to it. And that had been going on for 38 years. But you know, if you ever stop and think, what was Jesus asking him when he said, wilt thou be made whole? See, Jesus was speaking more than just his physical condition. He was talking about his spiritual condition as well as his physical condition. Jesus understood his dilemma, that he had been sitting there for 38 years trying to get into the pool when the waters were stirred. We don't know how often this happened. It doesn't tell us if it was once a week, once a day, once every year. We don't know for sure how often the waters were stirred. But whenever the waters were stirred, it's if God worked a miracle in the life of whoever would get in the water first, and they'd be healed of their physical problems. But this man couldn't do it. Also, he evidently had no family or friends that could help him get in the water. He had to try and do it all by himself. Now, all of a sudden, he has a total stranger who he's never met before comes up and say, wilt thou be whole? Well, yes, I would like to. But then he explains the situation. And immediately the man, he tells Jesus the problem. He says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So what is Jesus' response? As we were looking at faith this morning, he's going to call on this man to believe him. Do you believe what I'm going to tell you? Because if this man doesn't believe what he's going to tell him, he's not going to act upon Jesus' command. Jesus gives him a command which seems rather strange to someone who has some type of physical disability where he can't walk. He tells him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And evidently, Jesus, being God come in the flesh, when he spoke, you listened. Remember, even his enemies said, we've never heard a man teach like this man teaches with this type of authority. And Jesus tells this man who is paralyzed or has some type of great disability, rise up. Well, that, first of all, is something that's impossible for him to do, because we know he can't even get up to get into the water. And secondly, not only is he to rise up, he's to grab his bed and take that. And then the third thing he's to do is even more impossible. He's going to do something that he hasn't done in 38 years. Walk. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And the man, what does he do? It says that immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So we see that this man obeyed Jesus, did exactly what he said, but the thing is he didn't get Jesus' name. And he didn't understand who Jesus was, and by the time he evidently did it all, Jesus had left. The crowd was great around there. Remember, there's all kinds of people waiting for the waters to be stirred. And Jesus came, confronted this man, challenged this man, commanded this man, and this man obeyed him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus disappears into the crowd. The guy doesn't know where he is. Now, I just want to make an application for this, because as you're looking at this, you're saying, wow, that is really neat what Jesus did, that he knew about this guy even before he was born. He evidently knew that this man had been there, because he'd been laying around for 38 years trying to get into the water. And Jesus went straight to him. He didn't stop at any of the other people that were indicated in the text. From what we see, Jesus disappears and goes to the temple. So he didn't stay at the pool at Bethesda healing a bunch of other people. He just confronted this man. And this man, he knew his need. He knew what he needed to have done. And he commanded him to do it. The man walked and obeyed in faith, listening to the word of God and obeying the word of God. Now, I want you to look at the condition that majority of the people, including you one time, were in the same condition. You have all kinds of people today that are in the same situation spiritually that this man was. You can meet people all out there in the world, and like one pastor brought a sermon one time, and he was talking about all of the dead people that you meet every day. And boy, that sounds like an interesting topic, all the dead people you meet every day, especially when you turn on TV and you see zombies and all kinds of things that they have on there. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the spiritual dead people that you are meeting every day. They are spiritually dead. It's as if they are already in hell in their condition. It's just they haven't gotten there yet. They are physically alive. They're spiritually dead. And they are dead to Christ, dead to God. Don't have any knowledge of the truth, and have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. This man was physically disabled to the point where he couldn't move to get into the pool fast enough, and his only hope was Jesus. But spiritually, he was in the same condition that everybody that we encounter that isn't a Christian is, in that he was spiritually dead as well. And he had no hope there either. And the question is, when Jesus asked him, would thou be made whole? When you go up to people and ask them that same question, would you be made whole? Do you know what the response is that you would get from some people? And you know, when I said, if you went up to somebody who had a terminal illness and you asked them, would you be made whole if I could have the power to heal you right now? And the guy said no, you all chuckled. Well, why? Because it's absurd. If the guy was terminally ill, why wouldn't he want to be healthy? Why would he want to live with this illness? But you see, a lot of the people that are out there, how many people do you go up to and you go to share the gospel and you want to talk to them about Jesus and you talk to them about the fact that they can have their sins forgiven, that they can be made whole, that they can experience what it is to be at one with their Creator, be in fellowship with Him again. And what is that? And yet they say, nah, I don't want to. It's too hard. I enjoy the life. I enjoy the life I have. I enjoy my friends that I can go and do all these despicable things with. I enjoy the sin that I'm involved with. I don't want to be set free from it. I don't want to be healed. It's just as absurd when you stop and think about it for that answer to come from people, but yet they give it. This man's only hope was Jesus. The world's only hope is Jesus. The only way that people are ever going to be set free from the condition that they're in, and that is to be being enslaved to sin and being ensnared in a world system that's in rebellion against God and walking in rebellion against their Creator and having to face the consequences of their rebellion and being accountable to Him one day, the only way that they can be set free from that condition, a condition that's impossible for them to get out of by themselves, just as it was for this man, is to come to Jesus Christ and to receive the gift of salvation, to hear the words that Jesus shares with them. And it's interesting as he comes and encounters this man again in the temple later on. In verse 14 it says, "And afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple." Jesus sought him out again. And it's interesting that Jesus did seek him out again. And what did he say to him? "Behold, thou art made whole." Okay? And the man is thinking physical. I'm made physically whole. But Jesus makes a tremendous statement to help him understand what has really happened. This is much more than a physical healing that has transpired. And Jesus says, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." In other words, don't continue to walk in your sin, but you've been set free from it. Because if you remember what the Lord said about the demons that were cast out, and he said that if the demon was cast out and that if the person didn't have the Lord come into their life, that what happened is the life had been cleaned of the demonic presence, but if Jesus didn't come in, the Lord didn't come in where the demonic influence had been, what would happen? The demon would come with many more demons, and the person would be in a worse state than they were before the demon had been cast out. And so he said it's important that people understand the only true deliverance from sin and this world's rebellion is to receive the Lord into your life. That's the same thing he's telling this man here. That you've been set free. Don't sin anymore, lest something worse happen to you. And what could be worse than being a paraplegic where you couldn't move fast enough to get into the water for 38 years to burn in hell for an eternity? That's what's worse. And there's always hope, as long as you're breathing a breath in this world, that you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But once that breath is gone, and once you've breathed your last, you have no hope and your eternity is set. And the Lord is telling him, "Hear what I'm saying." And when he's saying, "Sin no more," does God expect us to be sinless? Is that what he's talking about? Well, he knows that we're going to sin, even as his children. But what does the John tell us in 1 John? "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And he desires to work in our lives, and that even though we sin, it shouldn't become the pattern of our life, the thing that we long to do. What we want to do above all else is to rebel against God. Instead, we should desire to serve God and to do His will. And so that is what Jesus is laying forth for him, is that he has the power not only to physically heal him, but spiritually deliver him. Well, this afternoon we don't have time to get into the next portion of the response of the Pharisees to Christ in this whole interaction. That'll have to be for next Sunday morning, but it's a rather interesting one. And we're going to see what the response is, because it's the same response that oftentimes you'll have in our world today from people who are religious but not Christians when you try and talk to people about coming to the Lord. So in closing, just remember, every person you meet that is not a believer is really in the same state as this man here. It's just that they're maybe walking on two legs and have their use of their arms, but spiritually they're just as dead. And the only hope for them is to have their sins forgiven by Jesus and to hear him say, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Help us to understand the truth of it, and help us to apply this word to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in closing to 483.
Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, will you ever let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Have you any room for Jesus, as impatient calls again? Here today is time accepted, tomorrow you may call it vain. Come for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart so widely open, bid him enter while you may. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's fleeting face. Room for Jesus, King of glory, sin now his will obey. Heart, your heart for widely open.
Lord, we pray that we'd have room for Jesus, King of glory. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to share with others this hope that they can have. And Lord, help us to share with them that your Spirit may convict and we may see people open their hearts to you. Go with us in the week ahead. Give us opportunities to share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.